with you guys once again. It's certainly a quieter time. Everyone's on break. I know my girls just got home from school today. Very excited. They're on vacation for almost a full week. No big plans for us, but that feeling of vacation's in the air, at least for the kid. It could be for the parents and grandparents as well. So next week, as everybody shopped, I said that we are off, but we'll reconvene afterwards. Looking forward to a new series. The new series, I don't know if it's been announced just yet, but I'll announce it to you guys at least. I'm going to be giving a series on medical halacha, and I'm open to different suggestions in that arena. It's honestly a new world to me. I'm slowly learning about it, but I'm happy to take some suggestions if I can accommodate as best as possible. Just a little bit of foreshadowing, I think the first topic I plan to give on is about Gemara that talks about when Chizkiah Melech, he took the Sefer Refuos and he hid it. He hid the Sefer Refuos, which itself is a fascinating sugya. So that's, I think, how we're going to start off the series, and we'll go from there to various topics like maybe kidney donations and medical school questions that come up. But for now, let's finish off on a high. We've been discussing a lot about Birchas Kohanim together. We learned many of the sugyas. And now I want to, last week I spoke about Rosh Chodesh Shvat and Tu B'Shvat. I want to continue with Tu B'Shvat as it's next week, but something related to brachas. We've been talking about Birchas Kohanim. Let's speak about brachas and Tu B'Shvat and fruit. A little bit of chizik. It's an area that I think that deserves some chizik. So let me begin as follows. There's a wonderful idea brought down in the Svarim that Tu B'Shvat is considered a Yom Tov of Adam HaRishon. I'm reading from a Sefer. It's called Magle Tzedek. Sefer Magle Tzedek. And he writes that people say that Tu B'Shvat is the Yom Tov Shel Adam HaRishon. Why? Because Adam HaRishon was very, very scared. When he initially ate from the Eitz Hadas back Rosh Hashanah time, so the pasuk said, and Kadosh Baruch Hu told him that Arura ha'adama bavurcha, that the land is going to be cursed because of your doing, because you ate from the Eitz Hadas. So what happened was, Rosh Hashanah was coming, Tishrei, and slowly the sun begins to set earlier and earlier, and he started to get very concerned that there's more night, more darkness in the world, and more din and more gvura, and he started to get very worried. Then he saw as the winter started to settle in, so then the leaves began to fall off the trees. And the grass began to wither. And he was concerned that this is all because of his wrongdoing. Eventually the world was going to just collapse because he ate from the Eitz HaDaas. There were no fruits left in the world. And finally Tu B'Shvat came around. U'kishaba Tu B'Shvat nichnas koach hachanata ba'ilanos. He saw that suddenly things were beginning to grow. Things were beginning to blossom and sprout. The leaves start to show a little bit. Maybe the buds of the flowers and the fruit and the grass began to turn colors a little bit. And the sun started to stay out longer. The days started to get slowly longer and longer. And he realized that it wasn't the destruction of the world. This was how the world was created. This was the nature of the world. And he made a celebration. He made a Yom Tov with the coming of Tu B'Shvat. So, Tu B'Shvat is called by the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, it's a Rosh Hashanah, but it calls it a Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan. No, it should really be called Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos. Now, we do say Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos, but it really, if you look inside, Chazal says Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, because it's a reference to the Ilan, the Eitz, the tree, the Eitz Hadas, that everything we do on Tu B'Shvat is supposed to rectify the initial Aveira, the initial Chet of Adam eating from the Ilan, the Eitz Hadas. So what does that mean? How do we rectify? How do we fix what happened many, many centuries ago? So the Medrash tells us that the pasuk says that Isha asher nasata imadi hi nali min ha'etz v'ochel. The Adam HaRishon, when he was accused by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he points to his wife, said, it's her fault. She gave it to me. I ate from her. My wife feeds me chicken. I eat chicken. She feeds me chicken soup. I eat chicken soup. She serves me fruit, I eat fruit. It's her fault. I eat whatever she makes. So that's what she made for me today, that's what I ate. But what's striking, the Medrash points out, is he says, min ha'etz v'ochel. Ochel is not grammatically correct. It should say, min ha'etz v'achalti. I ate from the Eitz Hadas. Ochel means, and I'm eating from the Eitz Hadas. So the Medrash says, I don't understand. he's trying to continue to eat more from Eta Das, the very place where he sinned. He's telling Kadosh Baruch Hu to his face, I'm going to eat more and ochel more and more. So what does he mean by ochel that he's continuously eating? So the Kedushas Levi writes in Parshas Noach, the Berditchever explains, Haklal, the rule is, Ki ba'achila she'odam Yisrael ochel, when a Yid eats, he's mesakein ha'pagam shel Adam HaRishon. He somehow fixes the sin, the pagam that took place from Adam HaRishon, be'achila, through his eating. Ayidei mitzvos she'Yisrael osin be'achila. All the mitzvahs that contribute to food, so that's how we're mesakein it, by following the halachas. Hein be'bracha, al'achila, whether it's saying the proper bracha, or I would say saying the bracha in the proper way. Hein b'shar mitzvos, whether it's the bracha or other mitzvahs related, that the Yisrael osin b'maychel kodem achil, that we do to prepare for the food. For example, you know, when you're growing something, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you would separate truma and give it to the Kohen, then ma'aser rishon would go to a Levi, and then ma'aser sheni you take to Yerushalayim, or if it was a year, ma'aser ani, you give it to the ani, and the halachas of peya, and leket, and shecha, all the halachas leading up to, eventually, eating the food. So all the mitzvahs done properly, plus the bracha, that says the Kedusha Levi is how a person fixes the sin of the Eitz Hadas. So he's mesakein ha-pagam sh'adam arishon. And that's what it means, v'ochel, I'm eating, says the Medrash. Adam HaRishon says, I'm eating ochel, how many ochel? I ate the Eitz Hadas, but when I continue to eat, when I'm ochel now, b'zesh ochel od ayidei mitzvos, yitukad mashi pakamti. By me eating, going ahead in life, eating food, fruit, challah, cake, meat, all of that, I'm able to now eat, and that will rectify what I had done wrong. He wasn't saying he was eating more from Eitz Hadas. Adam HaRishon was banished from Gan Eden. It wasn't available. But when he was saying ochel, by you eating, by me eating, by us eating in the right way, nimsa ayidei shepagam Adam HaRishon ba'achila, because Adam made a mistake in his eating, so then tzarech Adam le'echol ulesakin. You and I need to now eat in the proper way. That means with the proper brachas. That means with the proper mitzvahs before him. Not to just throw a bracha to be zorek bracha mipiv, like the Gemara says. You're saying Hashem's name. Baruch atah Hashem. Slowly. Calculated. Understanding the words. Very simple words. What's being said here. That's one way, says the Berditchever, how to fix the initial chait of the Eitz Hadas. Rav Shechter shared with me a very, very moving story once. And he was telling me and I was some other chaverim that when he was in NCSY Kola learning one summer in Eretz Yisrael, so he oftentimes learned with different bachrim, young kids in high school, and he was learning with one bachr, and he was a baal tshuva. And he was raised and was still living in a house that wasn't religious at all. And Rav Shechter, who was known to oftentimes cry, he was crying as he was telling us the story, that this bachr told Rav Shechter that his parents refused to buy him kosher food. He eats treif. He eats mama's treif, nevela, chazer, because that's all his parents. He's a little kid. He can't go shopping for himself. He doesn't have the money. His parents serve him treif. So this boy, he washes and has bread at every single meal because he doesn't want to say a bracha on that which is treif or that which is a nevela. He only say a bracha on something that's kosher. So he gets kosher bread. His parents buy him kosher bread, challah, whatever it is, and he makes a bracha at every single meal on the bread, lest he not say bracha on kosher, non-kosher food. So, Baruch Hashem, we're not in that situation, but at least to realize how sensitive such a young boy is, who didn't grow up that way, and he saw such an importance of saying a bracha, not to say it on treif and nevela, things that we don't have to even deal with, but maybe it's an opportunity for us to think about how we can say a bracha properly on that which is kosher, a bracha on a fruit, on whatever you're eating, whatever you're drinking. So that's one way a person could really try to rectify the aveira, the chait of Adam HaRishon. Now, the second way, there is a deep understanding of this. I'm not going to go deep at all. But the second way is could be basic as well, is that think of the purpose why we eat. Why are we eating? We're not eating to enjoy. Now, there certainly is an element of enjoying this world, the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us wonderful things to enjoy. But the point is, we're trying to eat to give us strength to serve our Kadosh Baruch Hu further. what it means to daven, what it means to learn, what it means to be do chesed. The eating is with another goal, another incentive, not only for hana, not only to benefit and to enjoy Hashem's creation, but also to serve Hashem better, to give us energy, to fuel us up. And that's the second thing to try to have in mind, something to think about to add to our suda, our meals. And the third thing is a beautiful idea, a very nice idea brought down by the Bach. The Bach, one of the Perushim on the tour, the father-in-law of the Taz, the Bach says something very, very nice. It's a practice I remember from when I was very young in elementary school. I went to Marai in Englewood. They always brought in, you know, the Shivas Aminim we ate on Tu B'Shvat and Buxer and other fruits from Eretz Yisrael. So what's the Indian to have fruits from Eretz Yisrael on Tu B'Shvat? What's that based on? And this is a third way we could try to rectify the initial chait of Adam HaRishon. So listen to the language of the Bach. The Bach writes, it's found in Or Chaim Siman Reish Ches. Kedushas Haaretz Nishbazba. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael infuses a certain level of Kedusha into the fruit. Mukdushas Haaretz HaElyona. This is not a Sefer in Kabbalah. There's never either a Sefer in Chassidus. This is the Bach, one of the greatest poskim found in the Torah. He says, this Kedusha from the Aretz Elyona, from some upper world, upper land, that comes down to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. He nishbas gam b'peirosea. It infuses the fruits of Eretz Yisrael with special Kedusha. Sheyon kim mikedushas hashchina. That the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, the pomegranates, the dates, the olives, the grapes, are yonic, are nourishing from the Shechina, Hashochenes Bekerv Aretz, the Shechina that's so ever-present in Eretz Yisrael, is the source of the Kedusha that goes into the fruits. V'al Kein, therefore, says the Bach, Shanicha, it makes sense, Shanu Machnisen Bebracha Zu, Mein Shalosh, when we say the Bracha on Mein Shalosh, whether that's going to be, you know, the different grains or the different fruits of the Shivas Aminim, we say V'nocha Mepirya, V'nispa Metuva, we eat from her fruit, from the fruit of Eretz Yisrael. Why? Ki ba'achilas peiroseha anu nizonim mikedusha shashchina. When we eat the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, it's not just stop eating fruit that tastes delicious. It's mamish getting from the kedusha of the Shechina, says the Bach. Umitarasa v'nisba mituvasa. We get cleansed, we get purified, and we're being satiated from the pureness, the goodness from the Shechina. That's a powerful thing. Now, along these lines, there's a very nice question. The Gemara in Sota talks about how Moshe Rabbeinu very much wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael. And we know he wasn't Zocha to go to Eretz Yisrael. But the Gemara says, why do you want to go to Eretz Yisrael? What was the big deal? So did Moshe Rabbeinu want to eat the fruit? Was that what he wanted? He wanted the fruit? Moshe was a glutton? He wanted food? You know, I'll tell you a beautiful kutzker. The Gemara tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu went to learn with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 40 days and 40 nights, he was learning all of Torah, Kol Torah Kul up in Shemayim. He didn't eat or drink. He fasted for 40 days straight. And when he came back down, he ate. So the Gemara says, we learn from there, Chazal teach us that you can't be Mishan HaMakom. You know, there's a Minhag HaMakom. Up in Shemayim, they don't eat. So Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't eat, because that's the Minhag HaMakom. The Kutzker says, no, it's actually the reverse. The very fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to live, he was able to exist in the world without eating 40 days and 40 nights tells us that he doesn't need to eat. He doesn't need to eat at all. He can live without eating. When he came back down in this world and Moshe Rabbeinu ate, he only ate because the Minhag HaMakom is to eat in this world. So Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't need to eat. So the Gemara says, so why is Moshe Rabbeinu, why is he really has such a great desire to go to Eretz Yisrael? Because he wants the fruit, Moshe Rabbeinu? He wants to eat? He doesn't need to eat. What's the point? But now we understand. The Sefer Irin Kadishin explains, because based on this Bach, eating fruit in Eretz Yisrael wasn't about eating fruit because of the Gashmius that was there. It was because of the Ruchnius. It's because the Kedusha that's infused in every single fruit from the Shechina. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. He wanted that. That's what he was looking for. Now the Rizal says that he brings down that the fruits of Eretz Yisrael infuse a person with Yerushimai. Infuse with Yerushimai. So he says that Moshe Rabbeinu did not need Yerushimayim. He didn't need Yerushimayim. He already had Yerushimayim. The Gemara says in Brachos that for Moshe Rabbeinu, Yerushalayim was a milsa zuchu, a tiny thing. He didn't need to accomplish that. He was well accomplished. So the truth is, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need to even eat the fruit in Eretz Yisrael because he didn't need the Yerushalayim. He already had that. So that's why he wasn't needed. But for you and I, we need the Yerushalayim. And somehow, based on this Bach, based on this Arizal, eating the fruits of Eretz Yisrael infuse us with some high levels of Yerushalayim. So these are three things to keep in mind as we celebrate the Yom Tov of Adam, the Yom Tov of the trees, of the fruits, of the peros. Then number one is to say bracha. Say bracha slowly, carefully, calculated. Number two is have a certain kavana of, now I could be satiated, I could be filled to serve Hashem better. And thirdly, if you have a chance to, get fruit from Eretz Yisrael, because it has a certain level of kedusha that can infuse our neshama with added ruchness. That's piece one. Now, further, you know, speaking about brachas and saying a bracha on the fruit and food that we eat, I want to address brachas in general. About brachas, what a bracha could accomplish for me and you. You know, we're ready in Shemos and Parshas Bo, and we're leading Mitzrayim, we're leaving Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf is not too far away, and then Kabbalah Satorah, Parshas Yisro, and then we're going to spend the second half of Sefer Shemos all about the Mishkan. All the details of the Mishkan, the dimensions, how high, how wide, the different types of materials used, a lot of great depth and almost repetitive about the dimensions of the Mishkan. Now, the reason why that's very strange is because the Mishkan was a place of bracha. Right? All the bracha came from the Mishkan. That was the source of all bracha to Klal Yisrael. Now, we have a Gemara in Tainis that tells us, Ein bracha mitsuya, you can't find bracha, lo bedavar shakul, lo bedavar hamadud, v'lo bedavar hamanu. You can't find the bracha if you weigh something, if you count something, if you measure something. There's no bracha because once you count your bank, you can't like now check back 30 seconds later and have more bracha there. It's once you've already counted it, the bracha is no longer there. When a person doesn't look at his grains, he doesn't look at his fields, he doesn't look at it, just allows it to happen, so then there's a bracha. The Gemara says again, Ein ha-bracha mitsuya el bedavar hasamui min ha'ayin, that which is hidden from the eye. If you don't constantly check your produce, then Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to allow there to be more bracha. But the moment you count, you measure, you weigh, then it's defined, there's no room for bracha anymore. So asks the Kedusha's Levi, so how could the Mishkan be a source of bracha then? There was nothing more defined than the Mishkan. Every detail was so exact. How tall, how wide, how many amos, how many tvachim. So if it's defined, it's madoy, it's minyan, it's counted, how could that be the very source of bracha? So what the Berditchever says is as follows. It says bracha depends on how you look at things. Everything in this world, you could look at like Bilam, or you could look at like Moshe Rabbeinu. Bilam always gave an ayin hara. He always looked at every single situation, every single person, looked at himself as an evil eye, always looking down upon something. But when a Jew looks at something, he looks at someone else's success, he doesn't get jealous. A person looks at someone else's success, he's happy, he's proud of him. The Gemara, the Pasuk in Shir Hashirim, it says, Einecha brachos b'cheshbon. Your eyes are the bracha, b'cheshbon. The Kedush Levi says, even though there's a cheshbon, even though something's counted, you could still give something a bracha. By you giving someone an ayin tov, by you looking at someone proudly, so then you could give a bracha even on that which is counted. When a Jew looks at someone else, he sees their bonus shalom. When a Jew looks at someone else's fortune, he sees their bonus shalom. When a Jew looks at his own self, he sees their bonus shalom. And when you look at the world in that perspective, with that ayin, you're proud of your friend's accomplishment, you see a source of triumph. You see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Once you attribute all of your success, his success, to their bonus shalom, that's looking with an ayin tov. Then there could still be bracha. The place like the Mishkan, even though there was a cheshbon, even though it was counted, it was defined, it was so exact, but the moment you see their bonus shalom there, that's the real bracha. Depends how you look at something. It all depends on your perspective. If you're jealous, then you're not going to have bracha, and your friend won't have bracha. But if you're proud, then there will be bracha. If you see the Ribono Shalom behind every single thing in the world, then there will be bracha. Listen to this fascinating remez. The gematria of kina With a kolel, it's 157. The gematria bracha is 227. The difference is 70. That's ayin. An ayin is 70. The difference between kina and bracha, jealousy and bracha, is how you look at something. How you look at yourself, how you look at somebody else. That's how it works. Now, that was the whole point of the Mishkan. If you see the source of bracha, of the Ribono Shalom, it doesn't make a difference whether it's counted or not counted. That's able to go above and beyond. Listen to this beautiful Kotzker. Where, you know, Tu B'Shvat tells us that Purim is just a month away then. And, you know, in our shul, actually having a big campaign that we're trying to have as many people as possible to learn Megillah. Start Maseches Megillah Tu B'Shvat and finish it by Purim. We're trying to have a program for the youth and for the adults. It should be a very, very successful program, Yirat Hashem. So in the Maseches Megillah, we learn an interesting Mishnah on Daf Testament base. That there's a difference of the base of Migdash that was in Yerushalayim versus the Mishkan that settled in Shiloh. And this is as follows. The base of Migdash, you're only able to eat Maaser Sheni and Kanchib Kalim within the walls of Yerushalayim. Those learning Daf Yomi, we learn about Karban Pesach, you can only eat that within the walls of Yerushalayim. As opposed to the Mishkan, which was in Shiloh, you could eat anywhere you could see Shiloh. You could be miles away from outside of Shiloh, but if you could see Shiloh, you could eat Maaser Sheni. You were able to eat Kachim Kal. So what's the difference between Shiloh depends on where you see, and Yerushalayim depends on defined walls. So, says the Kotzker as follows. Mishkan Shiloh, where was the city of Shiloh? That was in the Chelek, attributed to the tribes of Yosef, the Menashe and Ephraim, Ephraim's area. So, Yosef, a tzaddik, we know, the Pasuk says, he was way above, he wasn't affected by Ayin Hara. Ben Porat Alei Ayin. He was above any type of Ayin Hara. He was above any form of stinginess, any form of jealousy. And therefore, since that's what Yosef HaTzadik represented, this ability to be Alei Ayin, to take the Ayin and look way above, as long as you could see Shiloh, the bracha of Shiloh expanded throughout. Even though the Mishkan was very defined, more defined than the base of Mikdash. But it's defined, the din is, if there's Yosef HaTzadik, if there's an Ayin Tov, you could go way beyond the walls of the Mishkan. Yerushalayim, on the other hand, which was in the area of Yehuda and Binyamin, it wasn't in the area of Yosef, did not have that same level of bracha. Did not have that same level. Now, certainly it was a place of bracha, but it was limited. Yosef Tzadik represents the ability of Ali Ayin to go above that. And this is true of everything we do. So, you know, when you eat fruit, and we're talking about saying brachas on fruit properly, we're talking about saying brachas on the food that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us, we have to be able to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us something so beautiful. How the farmer did something so beautiful. The farmer came from his farm with the apple trees and he sent it to the truck to go to the grocery store and it was put on the shelves by the worker and we were able to buy it. Fine, look at the whole process, how it got here. Look at what it took to get the fruit in your hands. When you say that bracha, to think of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's an ayin tov. To be proud. Not just to go and pay for an apple and eat it. Think about where it came from. From the farmer? To the delivery, to the supermarket, that's all Kadosh Baruch Hu. But I think this will final piece from Rav Soloveitchik, I think will give us some added depth to really appreciating every time we say a bracha. Don't just say the bracha; realize what we're saying a bracha on. So listen to this amazing Rav Soloveitchik. I think also Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says the same thing. I'm not sure. He asked the question as to why we bench only after bread. Why don't we bench after we have an apple? Right, we're celebrating Tu B'Shvat. It's a practice that fruit based on the Eitz Hadas. So why don't we have it? Why don't we bench after having an apple? Why not after having a pomegranate? Why don't we bench? So Rav Soloveitchik says as follows. You know, when you and I take a bite of an apple, we did nothing. You know, even a farmer who grew that apple, very little input, very little involvement it takes to grow an apple or many other fruit. You put a seed in the ground, you water it, oxygen and sun, eventually the tree grows and the fruit. The only thing that a farmer really needs to do is to kind of ward off the squirrels or any other animals that might be living in the area, and you have your fruit. It's a beautiful fruit that it's very easy to see Yad Hashem when you eat an apple, when you eat an orange, when you eat a pomegranate. Nothing you did. But when you eat bread, from beginning to end, when you start off with, you know, wheat, and to the final product of bread, a lot goes in, be the other. You plow, You soften the ground, you plant the seeds, you water it, and then you wait, you daven for rain, it grows, you cut it, then you have to thresh it, then you have to sift it, then you have to separate it, then you have to knead it, then you have to bake it. By the time all that's done, it almost took like a full year to get from that grain into your mouth, and you did everything. You did everything. Even the davening, you knew from Shemaim, but you davened. I davened hard for the rain. I did everything. I baked in the oven. And you know, when you're going to sit down, even if that bread tastes terrible, you're going to love it because it had all your sweat and tears in the bread from the beginning to the end. And you sit back like a man, like I've accomplished so much. Look what I did. Look what I built. And it's very easy to say, Kochi ve'otzim yadi, this was my doing. This was my accomplishments. Says Rav Soloveitchik, that's why dafka, when it comes to bread, we need to bench. We need to be reminded. We need to put ourselves in check that it's not our doing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to do this. He gave that koach, the potential, from a little kernel of grain, and to turn that into flour, ultimately into bread. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is allowing us to hold his hands. When it comes to eating fruit, though, you don't have that same mentality. It's so clear that we had very little involvement in the apples and the oranges and the dates and the grapes and the olives. So Tu B'Shvat's an easy time to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how the changes of the season go from winter to spring and to summer, how the leaves fall off and the grass withers away. But it's a Yom Tov of Adar Rishon because we realize that the world's coming back into the cycle. The sun's staying out longer. The grass is getting greener. The leaves are coming back. The fruits are growing. So we sit down to have that fruit next week, next Wednesday night. We're going to celebrate Tu B'Shvat in a special way. We should sit down. Mit Hashem, we should be zochet to have fruit from Eretz Yisrael. Sit down, eat the nice, juicy pomegranate, whatever you like, from Eretz Yisrael. And we should try to keep in mind these three things we said. Keep in mind that the kedusha of the fruits from Eretz Yisrael, like the Bach said, is being yonik from the Shechina. It's going to add some, however it works, I don't know, but it's going to add some Yerushalayim to each one of our neshamas. That's one. Number two is think of why we're eating. If we're eating, we're going to enjoy it. Yes, we're going to enjoy it. It's going to taste good. It's going to feel good. But we're also trying to give ourselves energy, to fuel ourselves, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu greater, to serve Him better with davening, learning, and chesed. And thirdly, and lastly, is the bracha. We sit down, we say a slow bracha, on the bracha on ha'etz, to have in mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this fruit from beginning to end, and we should have that perspective. Everything in life, whether it's the fruit, whether it's our business, whether it's our children, grandchildren, whether it's our friends, everything is a bracha from Shemayim. And if we have that perspective of life, that it's a bracha from Shemayim, everything, our friends, our neighbors, our family, then there's no Ayin Hara. We're Ali Ayin. We could go above the Ayin Hara. We're like Yosef HaTzadik that goes above it. That even though the Mishkan was so defined, the bracha was able to permeate even to the places you could see from far away. So with those three things in mind, we can have a beautiful Tu B'Shvat to have a new beginning of a new spring, a new year, a year full of health and happiness and ruchnius and gashmius. Everyone enjoy the break. Hope to see you guys in 2 weeks from now.